talking about God's glory. We can't talk about glory without talking about apostleship. Amen. And this is going to bless y'all, I promise you. He ain't just talking about when he preaching about himself. No, it ain't about that. Amen. I promise you, because we're supposed to be an apostolic people. And you cannot be apostolic without the presence of an apostle. Amen. I don't care what these folks say. Well, you know, we have an apostolic ministry. Well, who's your apostle? Well, we got a bishop. That's a bunch of crap. Amen. Let me tell you something. It was the apostles who demonstrated the glory of God to the early church. You understand? Thank you for playing anyway. Because I recognize God got you in the flow. See, I told her to stop playing, but God kept moving her fingers. See, some of y'all thought she was being disobedient, but God kept moving her fingers. See, I can see, I know more than people think I know. Amen. If I didn't rebuke her for it, then don't worry about it. I felt that in the Holy Ghost. That's why I addressed it. It was the apostles who demonstrated the glory of God to the early church. Turn with me to John 17. Handabo kosatabahaya. Thank you. Eko man sitaba sikuta. Ah, yeko shamansa. Thank you, God. Itaman sikede behoshilebahaya. Promise you, we gonna deliver this word and go home. Because a lot of us got a lot to reflect upon. Manta tamanshia. John 17, verse 22. I'm going to read this. And this is Jesus praying to the Father. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Now, he was talking to his Father about the apostles. So you got to read stuff in context. Every scripture is not for every believer. Do you understand me? A lot of stuff, it's just like that scripture that says we are ambassadors. Paul won't talk about everybody. Because if you understood what an ambassador was and the type of authority that was invested in an ambassador, you would know that every believer on God's green earth don't have that authority. And I'll get into that in a little bit. But Paul said we are ambassadors and God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Who was he talking about? He was talking about himself and the apostolic team that accompanied him. Handa boho shaba. Amen. Jesus said, the same glory you give me, I give them. He was talking to the 12, and we got to remember the 12 were apostles. Anything that God wants to do in the earth, he's going to initiate it through the apostolic. I don't care what your favorite prophet or bishop tell you. It's going to come through the apostolic. That's scripture. I'm not glorifying the apostolic. I'm not. Amen. But there's a specific glory that God has placed on the apostolic. Do you understand? And we're going to get into the glory in a minute. We're going to get into glory in a minute. Amen. But the glory of God was given to apostles. Jesus wasn't praying for every believer in this passage. When you read John 17 in context, you realize that he was talking about his 12, his apostles. Now, through the apostles, the church became a benefactor, or they begin to benefit from what God released through the apostles. But let me tell you something. Before there was a church, there was apostleship. Before there was church, there was a church, there was prophets.
That's right.
That's why the Bible says the apostles and the prophets are the foundation of the house of God. Amen.
Amen.
That's scripture. I'm not preaching on heresy. That's all he talk about is apostleship. That's what I'm called to talk about. Amen. We got other people in this house that's graced for different things. You get a variety of stuff. It's just like gumbo. Amen. I come with the deep stuff. My wife come with deep stuff, but she can make deep stuff simple. That's why I love to hear her teach, because she can, I could be revelating and stuff, and then she just listen and then just break it down so simple so y'all can understand it. I just be on cloud 11 somewhere with the Holy Ghost, and I just be hearing, I just be speaking what I'm hearing. Amen. You got a variety of stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. So, it is fair and biblically accurate to say that apostles are the first partakers of the glory of God. See, some people don't like this teaching because, see, it's not that deep, it's not that simple. Not that deep or not that simple, which one? You know, they start stuttering. No, this is scripture. This is scripture. God has an order. Amen. God is not going to deal with you how he deals with me. I'm sorry. Now, me as an apostle, it's my job to equip you to stand on your own in the things of God and to hear God for yourself. Because you're not going to use me as your personal prophet. I will prophesy to you, I'll give you the word of God, I'll give you counsel and all that as God released me to, but here's the thing, God will never deal with you how he deals with me. That's order. God don't even deal with my wife how he deals with me. Amen. And we have a similar function in the kingdom. That's order. We're the first partakers of the glory of God. Now let's look at the word glory real quick, okay? Before I go any further, I want to establish that understanding. And this is going to really help you. I promise you it is. The word glory in the Hebrew is the word kabod. K-A-B-O-W-D, okay? Kabod. K-A-B-O-W-D. It means weight. But this term is used figuratively in the sense of, check this out, splendor, abundance, honor, or something glorious, something radiant. All right? According to the Word of God, God's glory expresses his attributes. Okay? It expresses his attributes. The word kabod also expresses God's fame, God's reputation, his recognition, his beauty, his strength, his excellence, hatabashaya, his honor, his greatness, and guess what? This is the curse word. I'm getting ready to cuss y'all. His holiness. That's a curse word nowadays. Folks don't like to be atanabohosha. Folks don't like to be holy. Yeah, that's religious now. You know, we don't compromise no more, so we are religious. We don't listen to secular music, so we religious. I don't play Luther when I'm with my wife. Amen. Hanging out. Amen. Or in our private time having dinner, lighting candles and playing smooth jazz. Some folks, that music gonna take them straight to hell. Spirit authors on the music, you know that, right? David played the harp and the evil spirit left Saul because the anointing that was on his life was on the music. So same spirit that governed your life is on your music. I don't care if you talking about, I don't care if you singing gospel. If you ain't straight, you ain't holy. Amen. That's why some gospel artists I don't listen to. Some gospel artists are demonized. Some folks I get a headache listening to. I almost call some names. Amen. Now, people tend to use the word weight in a similar way that I just described, though. Have you ever heard somebody say somebody carries a lot of weight? It's talking about their influence, talking about their authority, talking about their power, their prestige. Somebody carries a lot of weight. So in the Bible, when it talks about the weight of God, it's talking about the same thing. Do you understand? So when the glory comes, God throws his weight around. So when we say the glory is here, that means God just going to throw his weight around and just show everybody who he is. Amen. That's why, you know, when the glory comes, you may see a cloud or you may see different manifestations of signs and wonders appear. Amen. The Bible, there's been instances where angel feathers have appeared on people. Because in Psalms 91, it says, you know, if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, you will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Bible also talks about how God will cover you with his feathers. Amen. Folks ain't ready for that type of stuff. Amen. Oh, that's witchcraft. No, that's Bible. Amen. Just because you haven't seen it don't mean it's witchcraft. Amen. We be accusing stuff and say, oh, that's mysticism. I had somebody tell me one time, oh, that's just mysticism. You know what the word mystic means? It means mystery. The Bible talks about mysteries. Amen. I ain't saying become a mystic. I'm just saying, if you want to accurately define something, if you want to accurately define something, amen, that's what it means. So the Bible talks about how the apostles are stewards of the mysteries of God. A mystery, you can't be taught that. A mystery has to be revealed. It only comes through revelation. I've been to heaven, and I went to when I went to heaven, there's a whole library in heaven full of books. It's a white room trimmed in gold. It's full of books. You hear me? Stuff, and it's full of revelation that has not even touched the earth yet. It's a white room full of books, and they got a big old podium right there in the middle. White trim with gold. I've been there twice. And at one point in time, I was in the middle of the room by the podium, and there was a big old book standing there, and the angel of the Lord came beside me and told me to eat the book. I don't know how I ingested that book, but I ate the book. So whatever comes out of my spirit is a result of what's written in the book. Just like in the scripture where God told the prophet to eat the scroll in a vision. Told him to eat the scroll. There was a level of revelation that God imparted in his spirit that was not revealed to too many folks, or if anybody, in the earth during that time. Oh, see, folks ain't ready for that. Well, if it ain't in the book, it ain't in the book. Don't you know? Let me tell you something. All of God cannot be contained in this book. Let me just be real. Now, God is not going to speak something against this book. All right? God is not going to speak something against the Bible. God is not contradictory. All right? But if I write a book, and I write about a specific subject concerning me, or if I write or just to give you basic understanding of me, once you get to know me, you'll find out more than what you read in the book, right? It's the same thing with God. Folks don't want to hear that. Well, the Bible is right. And you're wrong. Yeah, the Bible is right, but you're wrong. Amen. With your old wineskin self. Amen. You still trying to wail and travail. Amen. I'm not against wailing and travail. But back to weight. This is speaking of a person's influence, favor, authority, power, and prestige. The glory of God speaks of and reveals who God is in his entirety. Do you understand? It speaks of who God is in his entirety. So when the glory is present, God begins to throw his weight around. Us as apostles, we're called to throw God's weight around. Because remember, the glory was given to who? The apostles first. Folks, they don't like that. This is why God demands that you reverence the authority of the apostle. It's because it's not because of the person, but it's because of what God has invested in the person. You understand? And the price that they got to pay, come on now, in order to carry that type of weight. Because you got to be conditioned to carry the weight. Some people are not conditioned to carry the weight of God. That's why when the glory comes in, they get heavy. The Bible talks about how the priests and the Levites got heavy when the cloud came in, because they was not conditioned to stand under it. Good God Almighty. You're not conditioned to stand under that type of weight. You want to know how you get conditioned to stand under whatever glory that God has called to place up, the type of glory that God wants to place upon your life? You get conditioned through your suffering. That's why the Bible says the sufferings of this present world is not worthy to be compared to the glory of God which shall be revealed in us. Suffering is the only way to the glory. Your suffering conditions you to carry the weight of glory. Thank you, Jesus. Am I helping you? God is speaking. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go there. Nansikala mansoho. Shatabahaya. Kositaya. See, some of us, we got to learn how to come into divine order. See, the anointing flows through order. So when you go to these services where there's absolutely just no order, that ain't the anointing. Yeah, it's something else. Now, if we want to talk about Kundalini, that's Kundalini. You don't know what that is, don't worry about it. I felt y'all. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 39. It says here, all flesh is not what? The same flesh. That means everybody ain't the same. Everybody ain't equal. Uh-oh. Democracy in the church. Got to get it out. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. All right? So it's talking about the different kinds of flesh here. There are celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial one and the glory of the terrestrial one is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, and for one glory differs from another star in glory. So everything has a glory. It has a weight or a radiance or a function. You understand? And some functions are greater than others. Let's just be honest. It says, it just said that one star differs from another star in glory. So all stars are not equal in function, in radiance. You understand? Don't make nobody less than. It's just that everybody is not the same. And some folks' functions are higher than others. Sorry. I'm going to tell you something. We are in a kingdom. See, we've allowed the democratic culture to come into the church. This is why you got a whole bunch of boards now that can tell the pastor what to do. You can't tell the pastor what to do. If they the ones who's over the church, you can have a board of advisors. Amen. It's wise for a leader to have counsel around them. I have counsel. But whatever order I set in this house, that's what it is. Because God made it that way. That's not control. See, in a kingdom, here's the thing. In an actual kingdom, you only have one king. You may have princes and captains and stuff like that who have authority in their specific vein or function, but you have the king who's over all. So when it comes to the church, whoever the set man or woman of the house is, that's who has charge overall, and they delegate authority to certain individuals to help run the operation of whatever they're trying to do. And in a kingdom, it's considered treason to speak against the king. Huh? So why do we think it's any different when we are in the kingdom of God in the church? Some people have gotten judged for putting their mouth on the leader. People should feel uncomfortable. Even if you don't understand something, keep your mouth shut. Pray about it. Ask God. He to save you, he to save this person. You can talk to about something like that. See, folks don't like this kind of teaching here, and see, this is why many people are out of order, and they operate out of a spirit of rebellion. And then you expect God to bless you. You want to experience the presence of the glory of God. You wonder why you pray and you can't get no breakthrough, because you defied His order. Amen. I'm going to tell you something about celestial bodies real quick. Those are heavenly bodies. Terrestrials, earthly. The fivefold ministry are celestial bodies. Why? Because the fivefold ministry is a heavenly calling. Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. It's a heavenly calling. Glory comes along with each office. Each office has a glory or a weight of God attached to it. Because you need a certain type of weight and authority to carry out your assignment. All of y'all in here are called, so, you know, I'm not talking to folks who are not called. Amen? The glory of the apostle is higher than the glory of the prophet. I'm sorry, I know some prophets think that they're higher. And some prophets want to be higher. That's why many of them now claiming they are the apostles. But that's not the order that's set out in the Word of God. It don't make person, you know, better. It's just God has given the apostle a heavier weight of glory because they have a heavier assignment. And they have a heavier authority. And the prophet just got to submit to that. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. The pastor got to submit to it. Amen. If you don't understand glory, you will never understand apostleship or any other office for that matter. You don't understand weight. I'm going to bless y'all something in a minute. The word doxa, D-O-X-A, is the New Testament Greek word for glory, and it means weight also. So from the Old Testament to the New Testament, it means the exact same thing, and it has not changed. Each office has its own glory, and we must learn the weight of each office. There are many who want to be prophets or apostles, but they can't even handle the weight of being a believer. They don't want to. They can't even handle being persecuted. Oh, but you want to be a prophet. You can't even obey God, but you want to be a prophet or an apostle. You can't even handle the weight of a believer, but you want to handle the weight of, apostleship? Prophet? Be a believer. Amen. That'll burst some folks' bubbles right there. You can't even handle the weight. How is it that you want to be a prophet, but you can't fast, you can't intercede, you can't pray for no, you can't even pray past 15 minutes? without getting tired and sleepy. You don't even read your word. You don't know your word. I'm trying to help some folks out. Well, I tell folks, take your time. I ain't saying take forever, but take your time. Some folks overdue, but some folks just need to take their time. You can't even serve properly, but you want to be an apostle. It's evident that every prophet in Scripture served first. They served the one who had their impartation. Do you hear me? So if you can't serve the one, you have your impartation, and then all these prophets hopping from church to church, oh, God called me to go to different churches and get him right. No, he didn't. He ain't called you church hop like that. You just a rebellious vagabond who got no fathering and no mothering in the Lord. God ain't called you to that. Let me tell you something about apostleship. And the Lord is still moving. He's falling in here. There's things that are happening here in this place. And Lord, I ask that you confirm this word with signs and wonders in Jesus' name. Andabakaya. Apostles are sent with fully authorized rights of the sender. I'm not preaching heresy. It's in the book. It's in the book. Apostle in the Greek is the word apostolos, A-P-O-S-T-O-L-O-S, and it means sent one. Special messenger, not just a messenger. Prophets are messengers. But a special messenger, that means God has given us a special message. So if you hear these folks hollering about the apostles, they're going, they're not apostles. That's not special. Ain't nothing special about you. Go sit down. Why don't you just be a hooping preacher? Like they're having seizures. If you're an apostle and all you preach is regular word and there's nothing distinct and unique about your message, if you could just, anybody can preach this Bible. What is the revelation? We are stewards of the mysteries of God. Where is the mystery? What mystery has God revealed to you? See, you can tell when a person is an apostle just by him, by what they, how they preach. And then half of them, they don't have no demonstration. They can't, they can prophesy. They squirt out a prophecy here and there, but you know, that's about all they do. Special messenger. It means a delegate or one sent with power of attorney. Let me tell you something about power of attorney real quick. Some folks ain't about to like this, but I'm going to let you know. See, because if you come into a alignment with the apostolic, I'm telling you, it's going to bless your life. The Bible says you bless a prophet because he is a prophet. You receive a prophet's reward. How much more an apostle? Let me tell you something about power of attorney. When somebody has power of attorney, let me check this out. So if she has power of attorney, right? If my wife has power of attorney, that means that she can sign my name for stuff. Mm-hmm. And she can place my seal of approval on stuff. Uh-huh. So when she conducts business on my behalf, she's not her, she's me. Mm-hmm. How much? So the apostle has power of attorney. So when the apostle speaks, the apostle, that person is not speaking, but it's God speaking. The apostle stand as God. We're not God, but we stand as him. You understand? Amen. Because we're still man. We're still human. We still have trials and tribulation. God don't got no hang-ups. Amen. But the apostle stands. Stands as God. This is why when Ananias and Sapphira was dishonest with their giving
and they came before the apostle with that deceit, this is why they dropped dead. And I believe in this day and time, God got grace on people. Because they're ignorant of some things. But I believe that we're getting ready to enter into a time where that grace period is getting ready to run out. Amen. And understand this, if you love God, you love everything about Him. See, I love this type of stuff, not because I'm an apostle. Because I've had my fair share of serving people, and I served them with joy even though they gave me hell. I've been tested in that area, I'm telling you. So that's how I know it's possible. Because I love God so much that I submit to somebody who I believe is a tyrant because He told me to stay there and not leave yet. Some of us, as soon as we get mad or uncomfortable, we ready to go. Devil done playing with us and all that. We ready to go. Can't stand a rebuke. Can't stand correction. When the ministry goes through transition, all of a sudden you out with everybody else. That ain't God. So true apostles, when we come into your presence, we exude authority. Look at all the stuff God has invested in us. When Jesus taught in synagogue, they said, who is this man that teaches with such authority? Do y'all hear me? Who is this man that teaches with such authority? Who is he? Jesus was walking in teaching out of his apostolic mantle. So this is why he exuded so much authority. Now, in his personality, he was meek and humble. But when it came to the things of the kingdom, he was bold and vocal. Those of y'all who know me personally know that I'm one of the most loving people you meet. Amen? And I'm self-conscious about my humility. I always keep that in check. But when that apostolic oil starts running, ain't no telling what's going to come out my mouth. Amen? Because I have an assignment to the kingdom, and I'd rather hurt your feelings than God's. I'd rather hurt your feelings than God's feelings by not obeying Him. You get over it, but what about God? The apostles' message, check this out. The apostles' message is mostly kingdom. It's a power and an authoritative message. Amen. Now, honestly, when it comes to that, basic stuff is annoying for an apostle. We're able to teach it, but it's just like Paul. I came to you and I wanted to teach you meat, but you couldn't take it, but I couldn't teach it to you. And you still needed milk because you're still yet immature and you're like little children. When people fail to grow up in things of God, it irritates the apostolic mantle, because part of our function is to make sure that you grow up in the things of God. Amen. That's why it's hard for an apostle to pastor. Amen. Because though we can be personal, we ain't called to be personal all the time. Pastors, they can be personal all the time. That's why we got a pastor right here. Amen. Because there's times I can talk to you, there's times I just can't. Because of my assignment in the kingdom. My assignment ain't just in the church. Amen. My assignment is to the kingdom. Apostles, we are governors of the kingdom of God. You understand? We're governors of the kingdom of God. So though we call to set order in the church, our operation is beyond the church. You understand? Our operation is beyond the church. But people keep trying to restrict the apostolic mantle to just shepherding the people. No. I'll tell you real quick, I'm not a pastor. I don't have a pastor's heart. I don't have none of that. I'm an apostle. I'm a prophet. That's who I am. Amen. And you can't make me into a pastor. People who try to make me into a pastor, I'm sorry, I don't have that grace. And I'm not going to do something that I'm not called to do or that I'm not graced for. Just because I'm over this ministry don't mean I'm a pastor. I don't care what traditional model you was brought up on. That's not correct. Show me in scripture where the pastors was over at the church. And I'll sit down and shut up right now. Show me where the pastor was the senior leader of the church. It was always the apostles and the prophets. My point exactly. It frustrates the mantle. We have an authoritative message. We're called to provoke obedience. We're called to provoke obedience. So if you're not obedient to God or the order of God, then it's going to frustrate the apostolic mantle too. It's going to frustrate the flow of the oil. You understand? Apostle, you've been doing good with these positive messages. Now it's back to this. Hey, you've been talking about faith and moving in faith and encouraging us. Now it's back. No. This is encouragement too. Amen. It's just not the encouragement that many people want to accept. But I love sitting under this kind of teaching. I can be on the receiving end and love it. Because I love God. So I love God, I love his order. Come on. I mean, God is trying to realign us here, you know? Hey. Hallelujah. We're called to provoke obedience to the gospel message and to bring you into alignment with the order of God. All right? Now, many don't like the apostolic and the prophetic offices because the weight is heavier. The glory is heavier. You understand what I'm saying? Because we're talking about weight here, weights and glory. All right. So being an apostle or prophet, and understand, I'm not downing the other ministries because we need them. You hear me? We need the pastor, but we need the pastor in their rightful place and stop trying to be the senior leader over the church. You need apostolic oversight at least. Amen. You at least need the flow in the prophetic. Amen. So, the weight is heavier. The weight is heavier when it comes to the apostolic and the prophetic office. The weight is heavier. It's heavy. And we must, as apostles, know our weight in the Spirit. Now, I want to point out something real quick before I go any further, because I really want to dig into that real quick. In Proverbs 11:1, it declares that a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. So when dealing with glory, we're dealing with measures and balances. When we're dealing with weight, okay? I need y'all to hear me in the Spirit, okay? And you probably need to get the CD, amen. I want everybody with a copy of this, amen. And make me some extra copies so I can give them to some other apostles I know, because they really need to hear this message. I mean, I believe it's going to bless their soul. Now, it says, false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. That's Proverbs 11:1. People shift into rebellion when they try to carry a weight that they're not conditioned to carry. And there's a trend now where all these apostles trying to be, all these prophets trying to be apostles. And then you got all these evangelists trying to be pastors. That's frustrating too. Now, evangelists and pastors, they both call the people, but they call the people in different capacities. If you have a passion for soul winning, you're not called to be a pastor. You're called to be an evangelist. You're called to bring them in so that the pastor can nurture. You're you're called to people, but you don't feel like you're called to evangelism, then you most likely have a shepherd's anointing. Can you open my water for me? Thank you so much. Amen. Amen. So this is why people get this so mixed up. They get it so mixed up. That's why you have to know your call specifically, because a lot of evangelists out here are saying that they're prophets. It's a lot of evangelists out here who says that they're prophets. They're not prophets. They're just evangelists who flow prophetically. Evangelists, everybody's supposed to flow prophetically, especially if you're the fivefold. Yeah, but people shift into rebellion. People need to stop trying to carry something they're not graced to carry. Okay? Stop trying to be something that you're not. This for everybody in this room. Don't try to be something that you're not. Because you're going to end up encountering some warfare that you ain't graced to carry. I noticed that. Now, I understand, I'm not against women apostles, okay? I'm not against women apostles. I have some friends in ministry who are women, and they're apostles, and they're authentic apostles. They're real apostles, okay? But I noticed that there are a lot of women apostles who's claiming the apostolic, but they're always sick. Their body always getting broke up. I know a whole bunch of them. I've seen a whole lot of them. And they always talk about the devil doing this. Oh, and the devil doing that. But they have no victory, no authority, no nothing. But you notice these women apostles, they flow very heavily in the prophetic. Why? Because they are apostolic prophets. They're not apostles. I believe strongly in women apostles, but I believe that they're not as, I believe they're rare. It's very rare that you meet a real, authentic woman apostle. Because apostleship is a dominant office. Amen. And in the Bible, the apostles were men. Amen. The apostles were men in Scripture. All right? Like I said, I'm not saying there are no women apostles. I know some who are real. But if I had to measure a scale out of a 1 to 10, the women apostles would be like in the 3, the percentage. Because it's a dominant office that was originally given to men. People like to use Deborah. But Deborah was supposed to pass the assignment to Barak, if you read the scripture correctly in context. And Barak didn't want to go without her. And she said, okay, well, just know that Sisera will be given into the hands of a woman. That was an insult. That wasn't a pat on the back, oh, I can go with you. No, that was an insult because he didn't want to take his place. Do you hear me? So women, I don't care how high your call is, you're going to have to be covered. I know somebody who wrote a training manual called The Emerging Prophetess, and it went through scripture and described that every woman in ministry was covered by a man. Every woman that was in the Bible who did anything great for God was covered by a man. We talking about the order of God here. Amen? So a lot of these women apostles out here, they're not real apostles. I'm sorry. Some of them are, but most of them are not. God is still raising up off the... I'm going to move on from that. Amen? Amen. I don't want some of my sisters to get offended. Jesus. But it's true. By Casey Price, I don't get offended. I didn't call your name. Amen. But we got to stop trying to be something that we're not. Amen. When you carry the proper weight, when you carry your proper weight, everything else balances out. You understand? We're talking about balances here. When you carry your proper weight, everything balances out. Everything balances out. But when you try to carry a weight that you're not graced to carry, it's going to throw everything else off. You understand? Everybody get what I'm saying here? It's going to throw everything else off. Kandaboko Shataya. Jesus. But you got folks who are trying to be who they're not, causing chaos, because see, when stuff get out of order, things get chaotic, because everything is off balance. God is a God of order. Do y'all hear me? God is a God of order. Just weights and balances deals with the order of God. Okay? The glory of God will always bring order. I'll say it again. The glory of God will always bring order. Always. But this also deals with people walking in their correct measure. All right? Apostles, we measure in the spirit. All right? The Bible, Paul said that I'm a wise master builder. The Apostle Paul said that. We measure in the spirit. So we know who you are. We measure. Apostle, the apostolic deals with measurements. We can always tell how much authority you have and don't have. Why? Because we measure in the spirit. Are y'all getting me? Ha, shikada bohosaya. We can tell your rank in the spirit. We can tell whether you say, well, I'm a prophet. We can tell if you just perpetrate. Well, I'm an apostle. Oh, yeah? We can tell because God has given us the grace to measure in the spirit. So we know where you are, or where you think you are, or where you're confessing that you are, but you really are not. You understand? We know you. We can tell where you are. But we can also tell where you need to be and what it's going to take to get you there. We can tell how much deliverance you need. We can measure how much prophetic you need. We can measure how much teaching you need. Amen. We can measure all of those things. We can measure all of that. Hallelujah. Am I blessing you? We can tell how much you need. We can discern your false balances and weights. The Bible says a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. So when people are not walking in their correct offices, or they're not taking their proper place, God equates that to an abomination. Because you throw the rest of the body off. If you're an evangelist, God don't need you to be a prophet. If you're a prophet, God don't need you to be an apostle. Be who you are. If you are a saint, God needs you to be a saint. If you're an usher, God needs you to usher. If you're a servant, God needs you to serve. Amen. Everybody's role is important. Oh my God. A true apostle can tell you what your call and your function is. Amen. A true apostle can tell you what your call and function is. Amen. They can tell you what your call and function is. And what it is not. So that's why when God connects you to an apostle, you're blessed. Everybody don't have that grace or that. Everybody don't have that. Amen. Grab that for me. It's easy. Now check this out. It's easy for people to be crushed under the weight of apostleship. I'm talking about it's easy for y'all to get crushed under the weight of my apostleship. It's easy. Now, this is one reason why I had to install a pastor in ministry. I had to install a pastor because everybody cannot handle the weight that I carry sometimes. You understand? Because if you don't understand apostleship, you'll easily get offended by stuff I say. You'll take it the wrong way. In Acts 6, there arose a need. The Hellenists and the Hebrews were beefing with each other over distribution of food, I believe it was. And they started complaining to the apostles about it. The apostles like, hold up now. We're not going to stop what we're doing to wait tables. Not that they was not concerned about the people, but they was more concerned about their assignment in the kingdom than the people. So he said, look, pick out 7 men and we're going to ordain them for this task. So even though they was not graced to meet the need, they put somebody in place to do it. You understand? Because we cannot stop what we're doing to attend to a certain matters that have nothing to do with our assignment overall in the kingdom. So this is why people say, well, you know, this is why a lot of times it may seem like the apostle don't care. Or the apostle is not concerned about your feelings. Well, we're not concerned about your feelings. We care, but we ain't concerned about your feelings. Amen? And we ain't wrong for that. Amen. We got an assignment. Our job is to make you grow up and move on. So it's easy to get crushed under the weight. That's why I had to install a pastor. There are people who have came to our ministry and who tried to get close to me on a personal level. They tried to get close to me on a personal level. And they easily got offended and crushed. You understand? They got offended and they left. Why? Because they tried to get close, wanting me to be a pastor. They had pastoral expectations out of me. If I move on, let me say this. You cannot have pastoral expectations from an apostolic mantle. I'm sorry. Let me cut this off because y'all getting cold. There. Amen. Amen. You cannot have pastoral expectations from an apostolic mantle. It's just not going to work. You're going to get disappointed. So when I stop catering to people, amen, and then when I start teaching that good revelation and that meat that they couldn't handle because they still was trying to believe in their stale, dried up doctrine, they left. I mean, no hard feelings, but they just could not. They tried to get close, and they got so close that they got crushed under the weight of the apostles' mantle. So this is why only prophets, most of the time, only prophets can really walk with apostles. Eh? I'm talking about walk with, because prophets suffer in a similar way that apostles do. We carry a greater weight. So somebody who understands the weight can understand the ministry and the administration of the apostolic. That's why apostles and prophets walk close together. They're grace for one another. Now, if you, and see, this is why I govern the church through my wife and Pastor Walker. Because, and this is why y'all notice I kind of step back and I don't say too much and I kind of let my wife run stuff a little bit. You know, because my wife is running this ministry right now. I'm just an overseer. I oversight. I have oversight. Amen. So you notice she's been saying a lot more and I've been saying a lot less. Because I realize that if I don't step back, some folks will get crushed. Not saying that I don't speak, I don't love on y'all, because I do. Y'all know I love y'all. Amen. And believe me, it was so hard for me to kind of just sit back and not do too much. It's hard for me, you know, because I'm used to doing everything, you know. But I had to ordain certain people for certain tasks. Amen. It don't mean I don't talk to folks and I don't love on folks, because I can be very personal, but, you know, I ain't called to be personal 24/7. You understand? You know, my season of doing a whole bunch of counseling with folks about the same stuff is over. Amen. Amen. I got to move on. Amen. God is doing stuff with me outside of the confines of this ministry. So that's why I set a certain order in place. People are easily offended by apostolic ministry because, well, apostle, he don't care. No, it's not that I don't care. I'm saying that your issue is a maturity issue. Because we are called to make people grow up. Most issues are just a maturity issue. It's either maturity in your faith or maturity in your love walk. Amen. Our job is to cause you to mature. So I'm going to see everything through the eyes of you maturing. Amen. You know, it's kind of annoying when you come and say, you know, you frustrated because some little kid was talking to you nasty. I'm like, little kid? The first thing I'm going to say, a little kid? Like, you really calling me by little kid? See, people will get offended by that. It may be major to somebody else, but to me, I'm looking like that's so immature. Why is you getting caught up in what a little kid say? I'm just using that as an example. None of y'all did that. Amen. So apostles will see things through the eyes of maturing you and causing you to grow up. See, I am a father. I'm the apostolic father of this house. I'm the father of this house. So I'm going. Fathers see things through the eyes of your development. You understand? Through the eyes of your development. And some of y'all, all y'all really, I get on y'all about different stuff all the time. Why? Because I'm trying to cause y'all to develop. I'm trying to get you to grow past these humps and these things that whatever y'all got going on with y'all. I know I'm teaching long. I'm almost done. Amen. But I got to get y'all straight. Amen. I got to let y'all know the transition we're in. Well, I mean, the transition is already here. It's already taking place. I'm just letting you know what's going on and what God is doing with me. But people get offended easily. So if God has called you to walk with me, you can't get offended by stuff I say. You can't get offended because you don't feel like because you feel like I'm being insensitive. Because believe me, I want to take all y'all problems away. If I could, I'd take all y'all problems away. And that's exactly why God ain't letting me do it. That's exactly why God put me in a position where I couldn't do it if I wanted to. Because you all have to get to a place of maturity. And y'all going down different roads to maturity. Y'all going through different processes of brokenness. Get y'all humble and mature and mature in your love walk and all of that kind of stuff. Amen. And some of you need a greater thrust, amen, and authority and some backbone, amen, and all of that kind of stuff. Y'all got different stuff going on. Amen. My job is to make sure that you get there. And make sure that you're rightly positioned in God. So if I see something out of order in your life, I'm going to address it. And believe me, I know more than what I tell y'all. Amen. Amen. I know more than what I know when you're offended. And I keep talking too. I don't care about your offense. I care about your soul.
That's right.
I don't care if you get mad at me and talk about me. Huh? Mm-hmm. I don't care. Because I will not go to hell for not releasing the word of God to you.
That's right.
Huh? I'm not going to have your blood on my hands. I'm going to make sure that I do and I tell everything that God has told me to tell. Amen.
Amen.
That's order.
Amen. Let's go.
Thank God for order. Amen. Handle your business, Pastor. Amen.
Amen.
Now, let me talk about John the Baptist for a second and give me about 10 minutes, if that. When John the Baptist was in prison, he sent his disciples to Jesus to ask him if he was truly the Christ. Now, you just saw Jesus being baptized. You the one had to baptize him. You was witness to the Father sending the Holy Spirit out of heaven to come upon Jesus like a dove. And you heard the voice and say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." You was witness to all that. But now all of a sudden, because you're going to do some turbulence, because he was in prison, you're going to do some turbulence. Now all of a sudden you questioning, was he, is you really the one? He was the first one to identify him. He said, "I must decrease that he may what? Increase."
That's right.
Come on now. Him as a prophet, he had to pave the way for Jesus the apostle. And then when the apostle came on the scene, he had to humble himself. See, that's the problem. John never humbled himself under Jesus' ministry. Huh?
That's right.
See, if he would have just became, though he had disciples, if he would have just became Jesus' disciple,
Uh-oh.
If he would have became Jesus' disciple, mm-hmm. then he probably wouldn't have ended up in no prison. Mm-hmm. And see, that's exactly why some of John the Baptist disciples left John the Baptist and went over to Jesus.
Mm. Well.
Huh? Let's go there. Let's Ashikotaba. Matthew 11. Let me go there. Matthew 11. I'm telling you, I'm teaching y'all some kingdom stuff here. If y'all listen to this message and marinate in it, amen. I'm telling you. And start aligning yourself with the purposes of God. I'm telling you, your life's gonna be blessed. Matthew 11. I'm gonna start at verse 1. And it says here, "Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples," probably the two that left and came to his, amen, "and said to him, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who was not offended in me. What was he saying? My works speaks of who I am. Huh? My work speaks of who I am. What's manifesting in these people's lives speak of who I am.
Amen. There it is.
So while you sitting in prison all offended, you sitting in prison all offended, this is proof. And they departed and began to say to the multitudes concerning John. Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out and see? Go out to see. A man clothed in soft garments. Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, more than a prophet. For this is he whom is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face and will prepare your way before you. Surely I say to you, among those born of women, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That sounds contradictory, don't it? But it's not. Why? Because John the Baptist had the highest honor of paving the way for the Messiah. He was the one he was the first one to identify Jesus as the Christ. But John had his own following, and he wanted to stay in his own vein, and he did not want to merge his ministry and submit it to the risen Christ. Do you understand? So now, John the Baptist became all offended because he's sitting up in prison and Jesus out preaching. Come on, we both preaching, and how come you get to be the Christ? How come he get to be the apostle? How come he get to speak? Why do I gotta submit to him? He my cousin. How come I won't chosen? John the Baptist had all that going on. When John sent his disciples to Jesus in question, that's because if you the Christ, how come you won't break me out of this prison? Uh-oh. Huh? And Jesus probably would say to him, if you were submitted under my ministry like you said you was, if you were submitted to my authority like you said you was, you wouldn't be in the prison. So while you all offended and you think I'm getting all this glory, you could become partakers of the same glory if you just would have submitted and stopped. Mm-hmm. Come on. Because see, John had his own following, so he had his own influence, so he didn't want to submit his influence to Christ. Come on now. He didn't want to submit his influence to Christ. And this is exactly why he died an early death. Because John was the last of the Old Testament prophets. He stayed in that old wineskin stuff. He stayed in the old stuff. He did not want to conform over to the new thing that the apostle, the Christ, was doing. That God was doing through him. So this is why when it comes to apostolic ministry, people get offended because we challenge your old traditional stuff. Stuff that you was brought up on. Yeah, God may have used you back then, but this is a new thing God is doing now. Come get with this. God may have spoke this to you last season, but I'm telling you that this is what he's speaking to you this season. People get offended. Look at me smiling. He said, blessed is he who is not offended in me. John was offended. Get ready to close here. Don't do that. Amen. Blessed is he who's not offended in Apostle Blair. Oh, I'm serious. I am so serious. Y'all laughing. I'm serious. Blessed is he who's not offended in Apostle Blair. How come he get to get honored all the time? I be hearing folks in the spirit. Where's my honor? Your honor comes from God when you learn how to honor who and what he honors. And be faithful in it for a while. Not 2 weeks, not 2 months. Not 2 years. Until God say stop. Excuse me, let me rephrase that. God will never tell you to stop. But until he brings you into your own. Elisha served under Elijah 10 years. The Bible says he was Elijah's minister, which means servant. He was his servant. 10 years. Some of us can't be faithful 10 months. We can't be consistent 10 months. This man was consistent for 10 years. 10 years. Amen.